Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the letter of James. Starts in chapter 3. You can find it in your bulletin. Please read along with me. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. May God bless this reading and you, the people who receive it this morning. Amen. Last week, Victoria opened her sermon up by talking about John Wesley and the three types of grace that we see in his theology and writing. We, of course, as United Methodists, like to continue to advocate for those three types of grace. We have prevenient grace, the grace that comes before, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. And she talked about how James is most concerned with that third type of grace, the grace that sanctifies. And our passage from James this morning is no different. It centers around two types of wisdom, that from above and that from below. And I think the best lens for us to understand this passage through is sanctification. But before we go on, let's pray. God, we ask that you would bless this time and bless my words. May your truth speak clearly through them. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Something that we've been discovering about James these past few weeks is that James is all about action, right? Works of the faith. We can see it in the sermon titles. True faith yields works or action, if you ask James. And the way he thinks about wisdom is no different. You see this in verse 13, right at the start of our scripture reading. Show by your good life that your works are born of wisdom. If it doesn't work itself out in real life, then for James, it's not wisdom at all. And this makes sense, right? Because James is the last person that we would expect to think about wisdom as something that you possess and then you just put it on a shelf. And this is also in line with how the wisdom tradition understands wisdom. In Proverbs, wisdom is portrayed as more of a way of life rather than something you know or knowledge that you have just to show it off. Real wisdom is intimately and visibly connected to life. James then goes on to lay out two sources of wisdom, right? The wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that comes from below. And then he even tells us what they look like so that we can tell them apart. Wisdom from below is full of selfish ambition, envy. It's unspiritual and devilish, and it's false to the truth. And then we have the wisdom that comes from above. It's pure and peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy. It produces good fruit. And it doesn't even have a trace of hypocrisy or partiality. So James has given us these two sources of wisdom. He's told us what they look like. And then in the rest of our reading, he tries to apply them to our human experience. So it's important to understand that James is writing to a community that has already made a commitment to Christ. in the Christian life. They have accepted the identity of Christ and the salvation that Christ brings to them. He's addressing members of the Christian community who gather in the name of Jesus and profess his name, but whose actions are not quite fully in line with what God wants yet. They aren't fully reliant on that wisdom from above. They're double dipping. They're pulling from both sources of wisdom. They know they're both there, and they're pulling from both of them. And James is telling his readers to open your eyes to the war that's going on within you. And we see this at the beginning of chapter 4 in our reading in verse 1. Those disputes and conflicts in your life, where do you think they come from? Don't they come from the cravings that are at war within you? James is writing to a people that know their options, and they want to pull from both sources of wisdom. Yes, they pull from the heavenly wisdom, right? But that's not always convenient. I mean, sometimes the earthly wisdom will get the job done, and it doesn't require all of that self-control or peacemaking that's so hard sometimes. And don't we do the same thing? I know I do. I mean, sometimes, sure, divine wisdom is there, and it's easy. And then sometimes, earthly wisdom just feels a little bit more natural. Even though James is writing to those who we would categorize as converted Christians, really this passage is a call to continued conversion. I think too often conversion is understood as a once and for all thing, something that happens and then it has an end date and we move on. And I just don't think that's the case. We as United Methodists believe that our conversion is never complete, right? That's where sanctification comes in. We have a struggle going on within us that we're very aware of, and we're called to continually convert more and more to that heavenly side, trying to look more and more like Christ with our actions. We have to make a choice every day to follow God with everything that we have. In the last few verses of this reading, James makes sure we get the primacy of that internal conflict rather than anything external. He mentions the powers of good and evil almost as an afterthought, but he speaks of evil in ways that emphasizes weakness and cowardness. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You see, the forces of darkness are no threat to someone who seeks heavenly wisdom. Look, if you resist the devil will flee. James is not calling us here to engage in some big heroic battle against the cosmic forces of evil and darkness in the universe. No, you see, that battle's already been settled by Christ. And that, friends, is good news. That battle was settled when Christ defeated death. And we don't have to worry about that anymore. We can rest in the resurrection of Christ and the hope and new life that springs up from that every single day. It means that no matter what is going on in our life, we can come to that table and know that Jesus is Lord. The conflicts that James is calling to our attention are from within us, from our human nature and our tendency towards sin, from our disordered and conflicting desires and the havoc that they wreak on our life if we let them. The true battle is for self-awareness and self-control when it comes to growing in our sanctification process by rooting ourselves deeper and deeper into that heavenly wisdom. When I was reflecting on this passage This week, I thought about how James talks about trials in the very beginning of this letter. And I think a lot of us probably think of that when we think of this letter of James. It's the very beginning of chapter 1. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. If I'm being honest, every time I read this, you know what I think? Why? Why in the world should trials call for rejoicing? And I'm betting you ask yourself the same question at least some of the time. When you face trials, why should you rejoice? I think in our passage today, James is trying to get at the answer to our why question. Trials lead to endurance, and endurance leads to maturity of our faith, right? During trials, taking the root of earthly wisdom is easier. That's a fact. Trials are where we're faced with the decision between wisdom from above or wisdom from below. And we face these trials every day, multiple times a day, which means every day is a chance for us to grow in that conversion process and become closer and closer to God. Look, you know this as well as I do. And I think James knew this too. When we are in dire need, for some reason, we're much more open to the presence of God. Trials make that veil between us and the divine get just a little bit thinner, and I think we begin to see God more clearly. James thinks that that means we should rejoice in our times of trials, and I think he might be onto something. This past week, Madison, my wife, and I faced some trials of our own. For the past month, water has been seeping into our apartment under the floor as it rains. We're on the first floor of our apartment building. And we have a 5-month-old puppy, so as you can imagine, it hasn't been the best living situation for us. We realized this past week that not only has water been leaking into our apartment, but there's been standing water underneath the floor. So if you've ever had a water problem in your house, you know that that big word that starts with an M starts to come into focus. And we quickly realized that not only did we have a water problem, but we had a mold problem. And then it all made sense. We had been having this upper respiratory problems that we couldn't shake or cough, we couldn't sleep. It's because we were living in a moldy apartment. And boy, were we mad. And we were frustrated. We didn't think it was fair for us to have to be dealing with this. We felt like the apartment complex hadn't done their job. But here we are, having to deal with it, even though we feel like this is not what we sowed. So we're moving all of our stuff out a couple days ago on Friday. We're carrying it to the other apartment. And we decided that it would be quicker if we used our cars, right, to move some of the books and the heavier objects that we didn't want to carry across the street. And of course, my wife's car wouldn't start. So it's raining, we're moving, I'm waiting for a tow truck for this car, we're sick from the mold, and I still have a sermon to write. And rejoicing was the last thing that we wanted to do. We had a choice to make. We could be selfish, we could argue with one another. We could be mad and irritated at the apartment management. We could be rude to people that we encountered. Or we could turn to heavenly wisdom. And I'm thankful that this scripture was on my heart when I was navigating this situation, because I'm afraid if it hadn't been, I would have reacted a little differently. We called some friends to come help us. We made some good memories moving in the rain. And we use this trial as an opportunity for our marriage to grow stronger instead of weaker. We did some double dipping, but we did our best to rely on heavenly wisdom. We realized that even though it seemed like our whole world was falling apart, we could at least rest on the hope and power of Jesus. The ever-present good news of Jesus. So that's what we tried to do. And you know what? It was still raining. The car still wouldn't start. Our apartment was still moldy. Our backs were still sore from carrying all of our things. And I still needed to write this sermon. But for some reason, the burden of this trial got just a little bit lighter when we let God in. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe your apartment is flooding, and if it is, I'd love to talk to you after the service. Maybe you have a broken relationship and you don't know what to do. Maybe things at work are unknown or stressful. Or maybe you just feel like every day you have to wake up and fight just to keep your head above water. I don't know what last week looked like for you, and I don't know what this next week is going to look like for you. But this is what I will say. As followers of Christ, we are called to rejoice when we face trials, because it's a chance for us to grow closer to God. It's a time when we are vulnerable and we become raw and we're more open to the voice and presence of God. No matter what difficulty or trial you are facing, call upon divine wisdom. And when we do that, we draw near to God. The haze begins to clear. And we realize that God was with us the whole time. Let's pray. God, we give thanks for your wisdom and for your presence. We know that trials will come, but we ask that you would give us the strength and the courage to turn to the hope and love and peace that we find in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give us wisdom, O God. Amen.